Down the middle of the field, wide open, got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
He goes and fights and pushes, and he gets right
at the goal line, and it is caught and juggled and caught, touchdown!
Oh, my goodness.
It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Hey, the pads started popping in training camp this morning, and that's not all. There's also been some news. The Browns re-signed free agent defensive end Jamie Mitchell. I can tell you that they are very high on this guy, as you will hear right now from general manager Tom Hecker.
No, it was a big, you know, move for us. We wanted him, and you know, that's what we talked about it all off season, and we finally got him. So it's good to have him here. And I think he's going to be our starting left defensive end the way it starts off with right now, and you know, we'll see what happens.
And over the weekend and this morning, we officially learned of three new veteran additions: safety Usama Young from New Orleans, running back Brandon Jackson from Green Bay, and offensive lineman John Greco from St. Louis, where, of course, Pat Shurmur previously was offensive coordinator, the Browns' new head coach. Some might say these moves aren't sexy enough, especially when they hear what's going on in places like Philadelphia. But Heckert offers no apologies for what the Browns have done so far.
We didn't say we weren't going to do anything. It was just, there's certain parameters that we're trying to deal with right now. And, you know, that could always change. I'm not saying that's, you know, our philosophy is build through the draft. But if there's guys out there that, you know, we think can come in here and help us, we would do that. Just, you know, the guys, I guess, weren't, you know, we're not going to spend a ton of money right now just in that situation. So it's not tempting, but we think we've added, you know, for our team, we think we've added some players that are going to help us. We really do. And, you know, are they the big name guys? No, but they're going to help us. We think we're a better football team than we were last year.
Hecker also mentioned that he's not concerned about the fact the Browns have yet to sign first-round draft pick Phil Taylor, saying the club has a good relationship with his agent and that they're talking daily. You can talk with us. You can ask me questions via Ask Vic feature on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You just log on to the Browns official Facebook page at facebook.com/Cleveland Browns. Post your question there. This one from Scott, and he asks, are the Browns happy with their wide receivers? Do you think they'll try to find more help at that position? I think right now they believe they can put together a solid enough passing game with the receivers they have. Now, with Mohamed Massaqua and Joshua Cribbs out with injuries, it's a little hard to truly gauge the true quality of the entire group. You definitely see a lot of rough edges to the young receivers working in practice, and some of it's because you have an offense that calls for the ball to come out of the quarterback's hands much faster than some of these receivers are used to handling. I wouldn't rule out the Browns seeking outside help at the position, but I don't sense it as something they're treating as a pressing matter. We have some great stuff on the way. Bernie Kosar's here. We'll hear from him, from his observations from this morning's practice. We watched it together, get some overall Browns thoughts. He'll also help us take a closer look at the team's quarterback position. We're going to begin our training camp series of position spotlights. Also, linebacker Scott Fujita will drop by our Berea studio. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're also going to be posting different poll questions throughout the week, one per day, to get you fans involved and see what you think. Today's poll question that's on our official Facebook page: is the NFL's policy of one practice per day a good idea? Yes or no, and tell us why. Couple of minutes, you're going to hear from the great Bernie Kosar. Stick around for more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ESPN 850 WKNR.
Buy your next pre-owned vehicle with confidence from Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Visit libertyford.com to view hundreds of quality-checked pre-owned vehicles. We guarantee the market's best used car pricing, so you don't have to haggle to get the best deal. Rates as low as 1.9%. All makes and models, no payment for 90 days. Certified pre-owned and more. Liberty Ford guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Hi, I'm Doug Beacon. I don't like anything standing in my way of getting people to the right field.
Jane.
Let's try That's My AAA for $400.
Answer is 24/7, when you need it, where you need it.
What is AAA Roadside Assistance?
Right. Keep going.
Let's stay with That's My AAA for $600.
Answer is instant savings at hundreds of restaurants, hotels, and stores, free travel planning, and great rates on auto and home insurance.
What is what you receive when you're a AAA member?
You're in the lead.
Already a AAA member? Don't forget to renew. Not a member yet? Join now at AAA.com or any nearby office.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon.
As proud partners of the Cleveland Indians, BP is excited to give fans the opportunity to get two tickets to a game at Progressive Field. Stop by any participating BP station in the Cleveland area and fuel up with 10 gallons of gas or more to receive a fill-up card with a special code. When you collect five codes, you can enter them online for a password good for two tickets to an Indians game. It's a great opportunity to get out and enjoy all the little things that make baseball in Cleveland so special, like the spectacular views of downtown. And just as the little things make a big difference for Cleveland baseball, BP is focusing on the little things that make a big difference for you too, like offering quality gasoline with Invigorate that helps clean and protect critical engine parts. So hurry and get in the game for your chance to experience Indians baseball in person. It's our little way of saying thanks for being a loyal customer and fan. To learn more, stop by your local BP station today. BP, official fuel provider of the Cleveland Indians.
Open to legal residents 18 and over. Full terms and conditions and redemption details available at participating BP stations in the Cleveland, Ohio metro area or bpindiansbaseball.com. Program scheduled to end on 8/30/11. Tickets and codes available while supplies last. Void where prohibited.
Swim Up Bar, a great cigar. Dine outside, safari ride. Mud wrap, sand trap, good night sleep, drive a Jeep. Zip line, fine line, climbing wall, have a ball. Whew. Visit nemacolin.com for more breathtaking details. Get two free big appetizer platters for your league when you plan your fantasy football draft at Buffalo Wild Wings. Free Wi-Fi, great beer specials, and award-winning wings. Book your fantasy draft today and start your season with the right pick. Go to BuffaloWildWings.com for a location near you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
ESPN Cleveland traffic.
40 westbound at West 130th, an accident. 40 westbound at Great Northern Boulevard. There's an accident on the right shoulder. That one is in the clearing stages. 77 northbound before I-76, an accident there. The Innerbelt southbound is slow from Superior to 77. Outbound East Shoreway backing up at Eddy Road. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850, WKNR Traffic.
Bernie, Bernie. Oh, yeah, how you can throw. Yeah.
All right, Bernie. That song can only mean one thing, and that is that Bernie Kosar, legendary Browns quarterback, is with us once again on the show. Bernie, welcome.
Well, I broke that, my mom broke that song out of the attic. My 11-year-old son now likes that as his favorite tune, so. Brings back some good memories, actually.
And especially for me. Now, I was at the time covering the Buffalo Bills for the Buffalo News when that song and you became popular in this town. But I was here covering the playoffs, and, of course, it would always be on the radio. And I just got taken away by it. This was great. I started singing it back home. My daughter, who is now 26, would hear. I would sing that to her as a babe, whatever she was, three or so at the time. To get her to like eat her vegetables or something, and that was her favorite tune, and she remembers it to this day. So happy memories from that song and for you. All right, out on the field today, we watched practice together. What were your biggest takeaways?
Well, first, you could see the intensity / enthusiasm by the players, even so by the coaches, to get out there. There's something about NFL football and any type of football and the start of training camp and the first day of pads. And to be out there at 8:45 today, getting ready to be in full pads and to see the crispness and the level of intensity and to hear the pads popping, to hear guys hitting like that. The law of physics really doesn't say that two guys going that fast and being that big should be able to run into each other and make those type of collisions. And especially in inside drill today, you could see the level of intensity and the level of hitting.
Right.
This is a very violent game, and you could see the team wants to play a physical type game.
Yeah, and it was interesting because you and I had talked about this and heard others say that, you know, one of the things you try to guard against very early on, especially after an off season where nothing was going on in a team orchestrated way, was that you'd try to do too much too fast and people would get hurt. People are getting hurt in this camp. I don't know that it has anything to do necessarily with that, but it is happening, and sure enough, it's happening at the position that everybody talks about, wide receiver.
Yeah, the timing, and much has been brought up about, including from myself, about how, and it's not to protect the quarterbacks, but how the quarterbacks, again, are the victim or the beneficiary of the guys around them, specifically the wide receivers. And we've been talking a lot about, at least I have been, the need for the receivers to step up, make plays, take some of the burden of responsibility off of an evolving new offense. And Muhammad Massaquai is going to be counted on quite a bit this year. I'd like to see him evolve into his third year. Having that cast on his foot and Josh Cribbs, I don't think anybody doesn't expect Josh to be ready when the season starts, and he's probably the guy who needs the least amount of work. But this is going to be an opportunity for some of the other guys like Greg Little, Brian Rubisky, to start making plays with the first-team guys and with Colt McCoy. And it's just imperative that somebody kind of separates themselves and starts making plays to relieve some of the burden so that Peyton Hillis doesn't get a lot of guys clustered around the line of scrimmage, taking away the running game.
We'll get into the quarterback position. We'll drill into that a little deeper in the next segment. But for now, while we're talking about the receivers and the injuries, and as you said, it's not about making excuses for anybody. You have been through this through your lengthy NFL career. Receivers got hurt on you, too, and they got hurt, say, during training camp or practices. So what happens when that occurs for a quarterback? What can you do you change naturally to the fact that you don't have the guys out there you normally sort of count on? And normally is a loose term with Colt McCoy, who's so young and so new to this, but he is missing certainly a little bit of experience in Muhammad.
You like to say, no, you don't change, but human nature is a part of you has to change. You develop better chemistry, camaraderie, abilities to make throws and catches with certain guys. And that's why it's imperative at times like off season and in training camp to develop that sense of timing within a couple of the receivers. We even saw me and you stand out there today on one-on-one. Colt on that comeback had it picked off,
right.
But the receiver didn't come out of his break. It was essential for my game to understand how the guys get in and out of their breaks, how long it takes them, which guys could come out of their breaks, who are going to get open coming out of it. And Colt's right in that learning process of that right now. So guys like Josh Cribbs, I think he has a pretty decent feel for, but he's going to need to develop that. And being a big running back, like a big X running back, now wide receiver like Greg Little, I think he has an ability and could develop into that a type of guy that creates some separation coming out of his breaks, because he has the speed and strength, I think, and he's showing it early in some of these drills, the ability to separate in tight quarters.
In terms of learning this offense, and you have, of course, Pat Shurmur, who's the offensive coordinator, bringing something that he was very comfortable with for the years that he spent in Philadelphia, 10 years as an assistant there, offensive coordinator in St. Louis the last couple of seasons, has it down in his mind in terms of that vision. And then Mark Whipple as quarterback's coach, and we'll hear from him in a little bit. Their understanding of it, now teaching it to a young quarterback, what's your sense of how the overall installation, because it isn't just the QB who has to learn this. As you watch the linemen, as you watch the wideouts who are on the field, how do you see the installation process going this after 3 days?
Well, when you have basically all three aspects of the game, defense, offense, and special teams, have new systems and terminology this year, you're going to have a learning curve to that point where guys are thinking instead of just reacting out there.
Right.
And coaches will tend, as I think they should correctly, will tend to put things in to where guys aren't overly burdened mentally, so that you could get a feel for their athleticism and their abilities to make plays out there. I was actually pleasantly surprised in the first couple days that, given the lack of time together in the off season, the no mini camps, the no OTAs, that the little things like onside, lining up okay, center quarterback exchange, you don't see a lot of the balls on the ground, offside type, illegal motion type things that typically you see defenses jumping offside. So the attention to detail, the attention to discipline from the first couple days has actually been pretty good.
Tom Heckert talked with a group of reporters a little bit earlier today. You heard some of the sound from that, where he touched upon a couple of things. Jamie Mitchell, I think it's interesting that he, first of all, this team was fixated on getting that deal done because they know what he can mean. They have high hopes for this guy, I think, to be a factor at end. Now, Jabal Sheard's been drafted, and he's in camp, but he's the rookie. Mitchell comes along in the late season trade last year, and they like what they see of him, and clearly, and they get him under this contract, and now they can put him in a position, I guess, in Dick Geron's scheme to be a bit of a force at that left end spot.
Well, as we were talking about today during team and inside drill, it's imperative in a 4-3 defense to have depth at the defensive line position so that guys are able to stay at full strength and conditioning levels so they can play at full speed. So rotations have become paramount within the NFL. So having a rotation of three to four inside guys and 3 to 4 outside guys is imperative. And again, like you astutely pointed out, Jabal Sheard looks good in practice so far, but being a rookie and being more of a pass rushing guy in that 255, 260 range, having another end like Mitchell, who's a little bigger and could help get part of that rotation, gives you a different type look and a different type player for the offensive tackles to go against.
And, of course, the noticeable absence of Phil Taylor 3 days into this process. Again, Tom Heckert says they're not worried about this. They are having a daily conversation or communication with his agent, and he just indicates that this thing is going to move along, get done. You've seen your share of holdouts through your career. I don't even remember if you did hold out at any point. You never did.
No holding out.
Okay.
No.
Well, when it does happen and you see a rookie do it, though, what's your general impression of that?
Well, by and large, veteran guys don't typically want to see the rookies impeding progress on the team, getting holding out. We understand it's a business aspect of it. It's one of the awesome benefits of this collective bargaining agreement. This is the best year it's been in decades in terms of rookies not holding out. So, you know, we used to always have prolonged training camp issues with rookies holding out for exorbitant salaries. So I think the optimism stems from this rookie wage scale and having to work within parameters of it. And odds are the agents want to look good too. So odds are they're probably debating over how much of the money is guaranteed because there's only so much to go around. So probably over that 4-year aspect of the contract, seeing how much is guaranteed so the agent could look good to his client.
Heard a rumor that you know a little bit about the quarterback position, so I'm going to keep you around if it's okay with you to talk about that. We're going to begin our series of positional spotlights through training camp, and we're going to start with the quarterbacks. That's coming up next as Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, continues on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
If you love wings, if you love rings, and all kinds of other tempting things, great times, great food, get to Quaker Steak and Lube.
It's a touchdown at Quaker Steak and Lube. Tackle a bucket of our best wings USA sauced your way, or grab our signature inch thick cut onion rings.
Great times, great food. Too quick to Steak and Lube.
Visit a Quaker Steak and Lube location near you.
Woo-hoo!
Northeast Ohio. Mike, hot diggity dog D'Amato for Nissan and R. Thompson. Here we are heading into the dog days of summer. And man, I am more excited than a Dalmatian on a fire truck. Even this man's best friend, Larry Fu Man Poodle, he's patting like a beagle at a biscuit factory. Because we're ready to unleash the best doggone deals of the summer. In fact, I double dog tier you to find a better deal anywhere. Get up to $10,000 off a new Nissan or interest rates as low as 0%. Are you kidding me? That's like free money. You don't have to be a bloodhound to sniff out great bargains. Just follow your nose over to Nissan and North Olmsted. And if any other dealer anywhere is trying to pull your chain, put up your hand and say, stop. That dog ain't hunting. I'm going to where they feed the bulldog, to Nissan and North Olmsted. And you tell him to go do his business elsewhere. Then hightail your boxers to Nissan and North Olmsted, because the deals are so good.
855-55-NISSAN or BigNissan.com.
Your dream is out there. Protect it with American Family Insurance.
My dream is a red sports car, a convertible with leather seats and no 3-year-old French fries under those seats. And it should have a funny bumper sticker and maybe a vanity plate. And I'll drive this car on weekends up the coastal highway. I realize I don't live near a coast, but someday I'll drive it to a coast where there's sure to be a coastal highway. And in this dream, I never have to worry about rocks cracking my window, parking lots with hidden posts, or people not using their rear view mirrors when they back up. I won't worry about any of these things. My dream is so important to me, I'll protect it with American Family Insurance.
Your dream is out there. Go get it. We'll protect it. From minivans and motorcycles to boats, RVs, and snowmobiles, American Family Insurance is dedicated to protecting your dream. Find out more at amfam.com/dreams. Online, on call, in person.
American Family Insurance.
It's time for the MMA Minute, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports.
At Strikeforce's Fedor versus Henderson on Saturday night, Strikeforce light heavyweight champion Dan Henderson solidified his status among the greatest of all time, picking up a TKO victory over heavyweight Fedor Emelianenko at the Sears Center in Chicago. The main event did not disappoint. It was only after a Henderson caught Fedor with an uppercut that the former Greco-Roman wrestler was able to jump on the Russian heavyweight and earn the TKO victory with ground and pound. The loss is now the third straight for Fedor, whose Strikeforce contract is now up.
The MMA Minute with Jordan Sherwood, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports. Get the latest MMA news by listening to Inside the Cage, Saturday mornings at 11 on ESPN 1540 KNR2.
We're back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. More now with Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback. We're going to break down the Browns quarterback situation again, the first in our series of training camp positional spotlights. Bernie, it's all about Colt McCoy, but interestingly, from a reps standpoint, he's getting just slightly more by the count I was able to come up with, and I talked with Mark Whipple about this. We'll hear from him in a minute, the quarterback's coach of the Browns. Only slightly more than Seneca Wallace. That's about the right distribution, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, right now, we said it last week on the air, and publicly and privately. You know, you want to fight the urge to overdo things. Today's the first day of August. The real games are 5 weeks from now. You're going to have plenty of time to get in that groove of feeling comfortable throwing the ball. And you don't want to get out, I think, too early and overdo things. So, you know, mental reps sometimes are as important as the physical reps, and they're doing plenty of throwing between individual drills, one-on-ones, seven-on-sevens, team drills, inside drills. So the ability to maybe spread things out, realize it's a long season, and keep your arm sharp so you don't go through any points, which young guys a lot of times do at the end of training camp, yeah, where they've overthrown and overdo it too much too early.
Here's what Mark Whipple, quarterback's coach for the Browns, has to say about Colt McCoy.
Conscientious, great kid, you know, wants to be coached. That's the really nice thing. Wants to be coached, every little detail, everything else, and it makes it fun for, you know, all of us, Coach Shermer included, that way. And so we're coaching him hard, and, you know, coaching him in a walkthroughs, and it's worked out great. Been a great, great first 3 days.
You're quite familiar with Mark Whipple and his coaching style and his knowledge base. Talk about what that means. I mean, Pat Shurmur's the offensive coordinator, but it's going to be very important for McCoy and Whipple to have this great relationship going forward.
Well, I think it's almost impossible to not like Colt McCoy if you're a coach, especially. Like Coach Whipple said, he's conscientious. He's attention to detail. He's a workaholic. He's a perfectionist. All the things you want to see from your quarterback, from a leader, he has those attributes. And again, he's that rubs off on the guys around. Because if your quarterback is coachable, if your quarterback is a perfectionist, if your quarterback wants to be great, there's no that sets the bar for the rest of the teammate, for the rest of the guys watching.
And look, it's not going to all be all the way there. We're still talking about a guy starting year two in the NFL, beginning year two in the NFL, a guy who did start some games as a rookie, but worked within an offense that was not purely what this one is. That was sort of a patched together pieced offense that you had with Eric Mangini seeing and wanting to do things a certain way, obviously, but elements of West Coast, not the full board.
Well, I find it, and I don't like, and I'm very cognizant not to want to say when I did it, but there's a lot of eerily similar things at the beginning of my career and the beginning of Colt's career. Somewhat of a opinionated, non-throwing offense with regimented time your first year, like I had with Marty Schottenheimer and the way we kind of did things back in 1985. Then coming the second year with a very kind of quarterback-friendly pass offense. And then I started 7, 8, 9 games my first year. Colt got a good handful of games and reps in and enough to kind of get the rookie jitters and the rookie experiences behind you. And I really believe you make you have a chance to make a quantum leap between your rookie year and your second year. And Colt's coming into a situation where he got the rookie year behind him, kind of got the rookie growing pains past him, and now he's going into his second year. He has the ability and the opportunity to be the unquestioned leader of this team in a second year of a quarterback-friendly pass offense. So I think he's going to try to take advantage of that opportunity and the blessing of being his second year and leading an NFL team as their quarterback.
And while Mark Whipple likes so much of what he has seen so far from Colt McCoy, he admits there's some progress still to be made.
It's going to be easier to go to 1, 2, 3. Hopefully those guys are open. I'm not going to sit here and say he's ready to go 4, 5 in a progression. You know, I'd like to say that. Maybe it was coached, but I'm not going to say it now, Vic. But, yeah, it's coming out. When he sees it, everything else. But it all comes with timing. You know, and you got to have 5 guys running the right route so you have the correct spacing against zone. You got to have your matchups in the man. You got to time up the motions. You got to time up, you know, your cadence. All those things are doing it. And that kind of comes back from his experience of playing, being a starting quarterback a long time in college. And the experience he got last year really helped him. Now it's experiencing a little bit of different offense and terminology. But we are going to, you know, challenge him every day with the different things. But he's done a nice job.
Talk about that read progression.
Well, I think for the first thing in terms of understanding the plays, understanding what the play is trying to get accomplished, understanding the formations, the timing of the formations and the motions, getting guys off in the right timing, understanding what the defense is doing and where your progressions are. I don't like to make guarantees, but I could guarantee that Colt McCoy is going to be fantastic at that stuff. Now, the level of execution, which is really the meat and potatoes of making plays and having results, is executing on those techniques and those points of an offensive play is the imperative. And I think that as you get repetitions, as you get time, as the receivers develop and he develops a rapport with them, those types of making plays, scoring touchdowns, moving the chains, will come with that. But I think it's imperative that he develops a rapport with the receivers. And Gary Danielson used to joke with me and helped the receivers by telling them that we can only do so much. At the end of the day, receivers, you must beat man coverage. I'll handle the safeties. I'll go to that right progression. I'll figure out if it's the first, second, third, fourth guy. I think Colt will be able to do that. Now, with the receiver, whether he's the third or fourth guy, don't assume you're the third or fourth guy. Run the route like you are the primary receiver, and you're going to get the ball. Because if I come to you and you're not open and you didn't beat man coverage, it's going to be a long day for you.
Vic Carucci and Bernie Kosar here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We talk about the Browns quarterback situation. And, Bernie, experience, having experience on the depth chart is so valuable. Colt had that a year ago. He had a sounding board in Jake Delhomme. Jake is no longer here. Seneca Wallace fills that role, the nine-year veteran who had been with Seattle, who certainly knows this offense quite well from having been around Mike Holmgren. Talk about the value of McCoy having Wallace as a teammate.
Yeah, anytime you have a quarterback who's younger, like Colt is, and much as even today we've talked at length about it, having the guys behind you in that quarterback room, being on the same page, being on the same team, being another set of eyes and ears for you, definitely makes that transition and makes that Sunday game time between 1 and 4 o'clock significantly easier to execute when you got a guy who understands what the offense wants to get done, and he's able to maybe be on the sidelines and give you some tips to what the offense needs to be done and what the defenses are running against you out there.
Mark Whipple, the quarterback's coach for the Browns, talks about the value of having Seneca Wallace in the meeting room.
Oh, sure. I think the dialogue has been great in our room. And, you know, he's been in the offense. I've been in it, Philly, and, you know, I've been in the NFL. But the terminology and, hey, here's what we did it. Always find it. And Coach Gilbertson and Gil and Pat, we got a lot of good, great coaches that coach at a high level and quality team. So there's all those things, taking little things on hey, maybe the drop should be here. Maybe your eyes got to go here in this situation. If we're seeing a mug linebacker, you know you're getting man, a little bit of Tampa. Or you're getting some Tampa reads and the different coverages, so that's going to get you quicker in your reads and your progression. So bringing a lot, he's brought a lot to the table. He's been tremendous. He's been great. A
couple other quarterbacks in this camp, of course, Jarrett Brown, talking about that room. Jarrett Brown is in there. And Troy Weatherhead, I know you know Troy quite well from
With the way the arena game went yesterday, we were nice enough to let Troy leave the Cleveland Gladiators and go to training camp. And any time we could develop and get a guy an opportunity to further his career and get a chance to make an NFL roster, we're pretty proud to be able to do that.
I mean, these are two guys that are filling out a camp roster right now. Troy, what kind of future do you see for
him? Troy, actually, a small school, Hillsdale, where actually Tom Heckert is from, as a Division II, incredibly accurate thrower. And we all know the story of Kurt Warner coming from arena football. But arena football, and we were talking with Troy today about just getting live reps, throwing the ball, making decisions. Arena football forces you to make the quick decision. This system, much has been talked about, the quickness that a quarterback has to make his decision and be accurate with the ball. So, albeit a long shot, Troy has a chance to get himself on film and show some good things within this system because of his accuracy and his ability to make quick decisions. And today, I think one of the more surprising things of this morning practice, first day of pads, was Jarrett Brown. His arm strength and poise in the pocket, his ability to throw the ball downfield and make nice reads and powerful throws was very evident in this morning's practice.
Great stuff, Bernie. So good that why don't you come back and join us in a couple of days?
I'm invited back. Sounds good.
Yes.
Open. You can't get rid of me.
No way, baby. All right. That is Bernie Kosar joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Coming up, much more on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ESPN Cleveland Sports Center.
Training camp continued today for the Browns. They put the pads on for the first time, but first-round draft pick Phil Taylor still missing from camp. Our Will Burge reports Taylor's holdout revolving around having all 4 years of his contract guaranteed. And also absent from camp today was Broderick Bunkley, who the Eagles traded to the Browns over the weekend. But this evening, Eagles announcing the deal with the Browns has been voided, Bunkley instead going to Denver for a 2013 draft pick. Indians ready to start a critical four-game series with the Boston Red Sox tonight at Fenway Park. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Josh Tomlin will make the start against John Lackey, tried beginning this seven-game road trip. Down 2.5 games to the Tigers in the AL Central. The Indians have announced newly acquired right-hander Ubaldo Jimenez will make his first start Friday in Texas. And tri-pitcher Carlos Carrasco suspended 6 games for throwing at Billy Butler's head on Friday. Carrasco has also been fined an undisclosed amount. He's appealing the suspension, so he can still pitch for now. We'll get you back to more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in a moment. I'm Dave DiNatale.
Buy your next pre-owned vehicle with confidence from Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Visit LibertyFord.com to view hundreds of quality-checked pre-owned vehicles. We guarantee the market's best used car pricing, so you don't have to haggle to get the best deal. Rates as low as 1.9%. All makes and models, no payment for 90 days. Certified pre-owned and more. Liberty Ford guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
Wings, if you love rings and all kinds of other tempting things, great times, great food, get to Quaker Steak and Lube.
We've been voted festival favorite at the National Buffalo Wing Festival. Visit Quaker Steak and Lube for our best wings USA, sauced your way.
Great times, great food, get to Quaker Steak and Lube.
Visit a Quaker Steak and Lube location near you.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car service, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. You wouldn't give your money to a door-to-door banker or take medical advice from a door-to-door doctor, so you shouldn't trust a door-to-door home alarm salesman to protect your family. At Alarm Force, we never go door-to-door, and only with Alarm Force you get free live two-way voice, installation, activation, and warranty, and only $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force!
Ohio's best choice for home security.
As proud partners of the Cleveland Indians, BP is excited to give fans the opportunity to get 2 tickets to a game at Progressive Field. Stop by any participating BP station in the Cleveland area and fuel up with 10 gallons of gas or more to receive a fill-up card with a special code. When you collect 5 codes, you can enter them online for a password good for 2 tickets to an Indians game. It's a great opportunity to get out and enjoy all the little things that make baseball in Cleveland so special, like the spectacular views of downtown. And just as the little things make a big difference for Cleveland baseball, BP is focusing on the little things that make a big difference for you too, like offering quality gasoline with Invigorate that helps clean and protect critical engine parts. So hurry and get in the game for your chance to experience Indians baseball in person. It's our little way of saying thanks for being a loyal customer and fan. To learn more, stop by your local BP station today. BP, official fuel provider of the Cleveland Indians.
Open to legal residents 18 and over. Full terms and conditions and redemption details available at participating BP stations in the Cleveland, Ohio metro area or bpindiansbaseball.com. Program scheduled to end on 8/30/11. Tickets and codes available while supplies last. Void where prohibited.
Hi, this is Joe Hayden. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are back on Cleveland Browns Daily, just as Joe said, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Folks, as a homeowner, I'm always looking for affordable ways to improve my home. And for the month of August, Universal Windows Direct has an incredible offer, $200 off on each of their energy-efficient vinyl replacement windows. Plus, Universal will give you 0% financing for 24 months. And be sure to ask about the 2011 Federal Energy Tax Credit. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one choice for quality vinyl replacement windows. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900. With Universal Windows Direct, you'll be saying, I love my windows. All right, Scott Fujita, veteran linebacker for the Browns, a guy who had a very busy, busy offseason as a member of the executive committee of the NFLPA and, of course, all the CBA situation, joins us now. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Welcome to Cleveland.
Great to be here, man. Enjoying it very much.
And this is the beginning of week two. And you, of course, were part of the biggest story in the league in many, many years. Certainly a very unusual offseason. If you can, just from your perspective, how difficult was it to be part of that, so intimately involved in that as a member of the executive board of the NFLPA?
You know, it was exhausting. On one hand, I feel like I never got a real offseason. It was one of those things where there was always something kind of hanging over your head. And until the day it actually got done and the settlement agreement was reached and we were in a position to recommend the deal, it was tough. I mean, I feel like a weight had been lifted, and it's so nice to be able to put that part of it behind us and just get back to football.
How often when you were going through this process did you have to remind yourself you're a football player, that your livelihood is still playing football, because your involvement with the CBA put you in a whole different world? It certainly put you in a business realm and to a great extent even a legal realm.
You know, I didn't have to remind myself so much because I had players calling me every single day, emailing all the time, text messages, and that was the ultimate reminder. And it reminded me of what it was we were fighting for, what it was we were doing, and it reminded me that we had to be accountable to so many more players than just ourselves. I mean, there's a lot of guys, you know, who are off on the street all last season, maybe came in for the last few weeks and were on practice squad, and you know, they're struggling. To get through a whole offseason for them is tough. I mean, Cobra insurance is not cheap, and these are the same struggles a lot of people around the country have been faced with. And there's a few guys you have to worry about. And again, keeping them in the loop, keeping them as informed as possible, understanding all the issues, and making sure it's a deal that's fair and responsible for everybody. And I think we did that.
I've heard so many different revisionist history perspective on this where people say, oh, I knew it was always going to happen. There was never a doubt that they were going to get this thing done. But I also remember some very dire talk and very negative talk. How optimistic or pessimistic were you at various points? And your honest read as to, did you fully believe this would be done in the timetable it finished?
You know, I think in any big negotiation, especially these big business negotiations, there's always a lot of posturing. And that was, I think, you know, both camps are guilty of that throughout the process. I think both camps were certainly guilty of finger pointing, you know, myself included at times. What I found as the process wore on is that none of that accomplishes anything. When it came down to it, it was just both sides really wanting to get a deal done. You know, I was honest with Commissioner Goodell, who I actually like a lot as a man. And when he came around and was making his training camp tour, I asked him some questions point blank, and his response was, you know, Scott, these things always have a funny way of working themselves out in the 11th hour. That's when I thought, this is going to be a long, hard fight. And you know, he called it, and that's what it was. Did I ever think we'd lose a whole season? I had my concerns at some points. But again, I think both parties wanted to get the deal done. They were reasonable about it when they had to be. And I think it would have just been stupid and selfish for this thing not to get done.
Is football better off with the type of deal that's in place right now? Or can you look at it in those terms? I mean, what's the state of football now with this new CBA, just in your perspective?
No, I think it's good. The business is as healthy as it's ever been. We all know that. I think there's room for growth for everybody. The growth of the game is big. The fans, I don't think, are going to go anywhere. I think, you know, TV package in a couple of years here is going to be the highest it's ever been. So all those things are good for the health of the business. That's going to continue. It is a 10-year deal. Again, I think it's fair, but again, it's a 10-year deal, so you never really know. I mean, you just hope for the best, and I think, you know, they got lawyers on their side who are about as good as it gets, and same thing on our side, and, you know, they're extremely diligent, and you know, the devil's in the details in these kinds of things, and they work through it, and I think it's something, again, that's healthy and it's fair for everybody.
You as you said, you went through a lot. I mean, there were a lot of hours, a lot of conversation. This occupied pretty much all your waking time, right, through the offseason. When it was over, did you have to decompress? Did you have to kind of, you know, go back and just want to not think of this for a while?
No doubt about it. You know, for months there, you know, everything kind of seemed like it was at a standstill. You know, talks were still going on, but there wasn't a whole lot of progress being made. And then suddenly in the last couple of weeks before the supposed deadline that kind of get dropped on us for July 21st or so, it kind of, all our lives kind of got turned upside down. So all of a sudden you're on conference calls day in and day out, traveling all over the place, you know, fielding phone calls from everybody. And that's where things really heated up. So once the point came where it was finally done, you know, I had about 3 or 4 days before I had to report for training camp. And just to be able to unplug, decompress, and catch my breath for a few days, that was what I really needed. And for, you know, for many of us, especially guys like Jeff Saturday and Dominique Foxworth, who were in every single negotiation session, and then a few of us who were in some of them, it was a big part of our offseason, and our families were kind of left waiting in the wings. And just to be able to give them those last couple of days before I had to report here in camp, that was nice, and because I was worn out and I needed to recharge before training camp actually began.
And since you've been back and the team reported over the past several days and then got ready to start training camp on Saturday, the practices, has there been much in the way of discussion? Have your teammates wanted more from you face-to-face now on what's kind of gone on. Is it still sort of lingering as any sort of a distraction, or is everybody completely focused on football?
Well, they're completely focused on football, but again, these are still uncharted waters. I mean, it's just a unique setup where you got a bunch of guys who technically are about to be under contract and have agreed to terms, but they're not on the practice field. Some guys want to know why. And then you got the rookie signings and stuff who are practicing. So there's all these just new elements that we've never had to deal with before. So kind of walking guys through that when they have questions. Some guys still want to know, you know, what the terms of the actual settlement agreement were. They have specific questions about that. But by and large, guys are focused on just getting back to football, getting their minds in the playbook, and actually getting to know their coaches for the first time, because that was a long deal without even getting to shake the hand of your new head coach.
And one of the new elements is the fact that there's only one practice a day. And I'm kind of laughing. I mean, I've covered this game 33 years. I remember the first camp I covered was coached by Dick Vermeil. I know he was a former coach of yours. And those were just marathon. It was like the baton death march that he'd hold in Westchester, Pennsylvania. How'd you manage that? You put a deal together with just one practice a day for training camp.
You know, all in all, I think at some point the executive committee and our player leaders decided we have to do what's smart. And it's about prolonging guys' careers, giving them the best opportunity to be healthy over the long haul. And again, I think, you know, some people are critical of us for this, and they think we're just trying to get out of working hard. That's not the issue. I mean, guys nowadays, they take their jobs very seriously. It's a year-round job, and I don't think you need training camp now to break guys down. It doesn't need doesn't need to be a battle of attrition anymore, and I've been through a few of those. Like you said, with Dick Vermeil, who I love to death, I mean, he wore us out now. I had Bill Parcells as the head coach. He'll wear you out. We had a couple practices down in Mississippi with the Saints that were heat index of 127 degrees, so I've been through all that, and I feel like if the training camp setup had been like it is now for my whole career, I feel like I could have played 15, 16, maybe 17 years, sure. And that's how important it is. You know, we did some studies a few years ago and actually saw that I think 60% of the reported injuries in an average season occur in the first 2 weeks of training camp. That was kind of an alarming stat for a lot of us, and it tells me something we were doing wasn't smart. So this is good for everybody. I think it's better for the coaches, keeps them fresh, keeps the players fresh, all the way down to the trainers and the equipment staff. To me, it's healthy for everybody.
You still might play 15, 16 years at this rate.
No, I got a shot now.
Did you? We were talking earlier though. Did you got some positive response to this though? From some of your teammates,
some guys were joking a little bit. We came in from the walkthrough yesterday, and some of them gave me a standing ovation.
just one practice. All right.
We were walking through, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, are we really doing this right now? Are we actually having a walkthrough?"
In all seriousness, because you got to prepare for a season, and you've been at this for 10 years. Knowing how to do this one way, which has been those extra practices, do you feel a team? I agree with the whole safety point, Scott, and that's clear. Who would argue with that? But how about the preparation standpoint? Is it sufficient to get you ready? And what's being done with the extra time that you're not on the field?
I think the focus and the quality of the reps now has to get better, and that the onus is on everybody to do that, especially the leaders in each position group. We have to make sure that everybody's being accountable. But the one thing that the new schedule affords us all to do is to take care of your bodies the right way. I mean, this is the first time now where you can actually get some extra conditioning after practice and feel good about it, not feel like you're grinding and just trying to survive before the next practice. You can actually get into the weight room and get a real good workout and work on your flexibility and get in the hot tubs and the ice tubs and see the trainers. So it affords you the opportunity to do all the right things to make sure you're healthy. So in terms of getting yourself ready to play for the season, again, it's just about maximizing the quality of every single rep that you take.
And one of the things we're visiting with Scott Fujita, veteran linebacker for the Browns on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. One of the things that you did in preparation during the Camp Colts that were held in Texas, you got the defensive guys together. He focused on getting the offensive players there. You got the defensive guys together. You had the material from Dick Geron, the Browns defensive coordinator, to download to the teammates and organize those practices. Talk about that.
Well, you know, this whole offseason, really, it was Colt's show. I mean, so much credit has to go to him for really kind of grabbing the bull by the horns, getting everybody together, and organizing things the way he did. I mean, the leadership role he assumed, I think, was outstanding. And it was nice to see a guy as young as he is really take control that way. Defensively, there was that brief window of time for maybe 36 hours where the lockout was lifted. And at that point in time, I knew I'd be coming into Cleveland the following week. So I made arrangements to get my hands on something. I had someone come by the facility and pick it up for me and hang on to it. So it was just nice to get some coaching materials because a lot of our players wanted to know, hey, when can we get back to work? When can we get in the playbook a little bit? So it was important for us to get together at some point and just talk X's and O's because it was a long time coming.
And much has been made of this conversion from the 3-4 to the 4-3. Talk about how difficult that is, A, and B, what the installation and the process has been like in this early part of training camp.
Well, generally a transition like that is a lot tougher on the D-line than anybody else. At the linebacker position, you know, all three of us have experience with 4-3 defenses in the past. I mean, I've had, you know, 70 coordinators now in 10 years, so I've run virtually every type of defense in the world. DeQuell has a lot of history, experience with the 4-3. Chris Gokong played in virtually the same system in Philadelphia. Our guys on the back end, coverage-wise, it's a lot of the same kind of stuff, so it'll be easy for them. But if you have certain D linemen who have been more or less 3-4 guys their whole career, yeah, there can be a transition process. So it's about getting guys to adapt quickly, to come in, learn the new scheme, and then find a new additions who can come in and contribute right away.
I look at Dick Geron, and I've known him a long time, always see the professor, the whole professorial style of his coaching. No yelling, screaming, seems pretty methodical, and it looks like on the practice field he gets all you guys together as a unit at least once a day, maybe longer, to discuss those elements. Give me a feel for his technique in teaching this.
You know, he just seems like a good man. I've known of him forever. I have a lot of friends who have played for him, with him as a defensive coordinator and as a head coach, and they all said the same thing. I mean, this guy is one of the best human beings they've ever known. So that's always exciting when you hear that, knowing that this guy is going to be your new defensive coordinator. So getting to know him the last couple of days, you know, your observations of him are exactly the truth. I mean, he comes in, he's extremely methodical. He's not a yeller or a screamer. He respects everybody. He talks to you like a man, and he's honest. And to me, that's all you can hope for as a player.
When you look at your linebacking core yourself, Chris Gokong, DeQuell Jackson, is there a comfort level there enough with the scheme, A, and B, with just the whole idea of moving this thing forward defensively, the challenge to be the kind of defense that you need to be a championship team?
I think so, and I think it's going to start at our position. I always look at the linebacker position as kind of the glue for the whole defense, and the reality is that most of our experience on this defense now is at that linebacker position, so I can't say enough about DeQuell Jackson and how good I think he's going to be in this system. I mean, this system was tailor-made for a guy like him, a guy with his skill set, and I was so excited when I got my hands on those coaching materials and I sent them out to DeQuell. 2 weeks later, we get together for team workouts, and he already knew the thing inside and out. So he's clearly one of the best athletes on our defense. He's a ball hawk, an extreme playmaker, and this is going to be the first time, I think, in his professional career where he can go out and just fly around and make plays. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Not a lot of unlearning to do from the 3-4, you think, or is it natural that people are just they just know the scheme they're in and are dealing with it?
Yeah, I think there's always certain nuances to every scheme. But again, at the linebacker position, I think all of us are ready to make the transition right away. And DeQuell especially, I think he's been kind of craving a system like this, that where he's protected, he's got big bodies in front of him, he can shoot gaps, run around, make plays on the ball. It's a perfect opportunity for him to shine.
Fans are a forgiving sort. And the thing that jumped out at me with the first public practice that you had on Sunday here was about 3,000 people show up on a beautiful day, lots of other outdoor options they could have, but they were there to watch you guys practice, and they seemed very appreciative about that. Did it go through your mind at any point during that workout of the difficulty of this offseason, of how the fans were feeling hurt through this because they were worried about losing their football, and at any point did that kind of cross your mind, A, and B, did you feel a positive response or connection with the folks who were there?
You know, we were concerned about that all the way through the process. I mean, the whole offseason during the lockout, that was on our minds. Because, again, if there was no football, that would have been irresponsible by everybody. You know, I'm a guy who's lived and worked in New Orleans, here in Cleveland, two cities who I was convinced would struggle if there was no football. I mean, both of those communities and those, you know, economies depend on the game of football. That's just the reality. So it would have been irresponsible if we didn't do the right thing. And, you know, this offseason, I did have some free time at moments, and I made the mistake, or whatever you want to call it, of opening up a Twitter account. So believe me, I heard from some angry fans now. I mean, they were furious about some things. So the fact that we were able to deliver everything, get it done on time, and no games are going to be missed, again, that was the responsible thing to do.
Excellent. Scott, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The results to our poll question: is the NFL's policy of one practice per day in training camp a good idea? Coming up and much more on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ahead on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick. Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security, on Route 91 in Twinsburg, and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
Largest selection of Infinities, and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. You have pickup service at your home or office, and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or your service, visit InfinityOfBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Sweetbriar Golf Club is inviting you to the Bob Hope USO Golf Outing on September 16th. This marks the 17th anniversary for the USO, and the golf outing helps support all of the men and women who serve and protect our country. The day includes 18 holes of golf and a clam bake dinner. All proceeds benefit the USO. To sign up, go to usocleveland.org or follow the link on sweetbriargolfclub.com. The 2011 annual Bob Hope USO Golf Outing is brought to you by Sweetbriar Golf Club and ESPN Cleveland.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
So why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
All right. We asked a poll question on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Is the NFL's policy of one practice per day in training camp a good idea, yes or no? And of the 869 votes, got a lot of votes on this one. By the way, this poll also presented in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. 75% of you said no, and a couple of answers on that count. John, quote, it's kind of part of football starting in high school. You don't get paid all that money to be lazy. Bill, on the no side, said, lack of mini camps and now this? We should get some real sloppy games this year. We should have a lot of players unprepared for the season. Of the 25% of you who said this is a good idea, only one practice per day in training camp throughout the NFL, Sid says, quote, maybe we can go into the season with healthy players instead of the tenderized ones. I love that. We feed to other teams at the beginning of every season. Ouch. All right. Well, that's your poll response, and interesting stuff there as well. By the way, Browns fans, 2011 Cleveland Browns single game tickets go on sale Saturday, August 6th at 10 a.m. For more information, call 440-824-3434 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And we also have questions for Ask Vic from Facebook. Chris, why did we choose to run a 4-3 defense this season, and who do we have currently to make this defense successful? It's a coaching preference. It's what you feel comfortable doing, what you know, and I think organizationally, that's the case from Mike Holmgren on down with this Browns team. It's something Pat Shurmur believes in and understands, and he's seen work well for a long time during his career as an assistant in the NFL. And the people who make it work, first of all, our new defensive coordinator, Dick Geron, I should say, who will make it work. And when he gets here, Phil Taylor, that's a big missing piece that will help this. Jamie Mitchell resigned as a free agent, and Jabal Sheard, the rookie, once he comes into his own, I think those are the right pieces, and the right linebackers will be in place as well. Scott Fujita, you heard him talk about a little bit earlier. I think they're building this the right way with that scheme. Lots of fun doing this show today, so let's do it again tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.